go with this. I did want to finish a series that we started a while ago called Revelation and Desperation. And I think we can do that today if you track with me. Just a little bit of a review. As we know, and we're not talking about the book of Revelations in that title, although we are going to get into that a little bit in a month or so. Although the book of Revelations is revealing, to some of the degree, it's revealing the supremacy of a returning king, which is Jesus, as we know. But I'm talking more in the revelation of Jesus, of who he is to you right now at 10:18, September 20 whatever, 2025. Who is Jesus to you right now? You see, the word revelation, we know this, but the Cambridge Dictionary says revelation, revealing of something, is showing something that was previously unknown. Isn't that pretty weighted? But yet we can forget. I meet with people time to time, and I'm always remindful of myself in humility, and I'm not perfect at it, to know that sometimes I may know that I may not know something. I hope all of us are there, right? Do you know you may not know something? So that's, and over the time, what can happen is, as we're Christ followers, Jesus wants to reveal more of himself to us. So this is a little bit of a review from the last few weeks. You see, God made the earth. We know Genesis, we know what God did. He put Adam and Eve in the garden, and we've talked about that, to steward the garden. But more importantly, God put his image in Adam and Eve. That image has never left the human race. Is that theologically correct? Follow me. What I believe in sin, what had happened in getting kicked out of the garden and God not being able to walk with them in the cool of the day, heaven and earth was together. I know that's astounding. But the image was still in what he created, because he never creates anything bad. The problem is sin covered it up, so we weren't imaging God anymore. But then Jesus came. God said, I love this human race. Not happy with it right now, probably, but I love this. I love my creation, and I want to relate with this creation, so I put my image in you. But sin is separating us from that. It's dusted over with life. We put other things in front of us that we want to image. Because when you image something, if there's an image, a mirror in you, you're going to end up reflecting what you're imaging. So be careful what you're imaging. So Jesus came. This is an elevator pitch. In just a minute or two, I'm going to bring those gospels together. Jesus came and dusted off that image, so to speak, and said, look, you have the image of God in you. But guess who you can reflect? Me, Jesus, because I am God in full expression. Following me? So we are to image and imitate who? Jesus. Jesus. God's our Father, and we fear him and the oddness of God and our Creator. But Jesus, who we supposed to image back now. If you remember Paul in Romans and I think 2 Corinthians, he alluded to Jesus being the second Adam. Adam. So Jesus is the Son of God. But we're supposed to imitate him. That's our purpose. We'll talk about that. So as Christ followers, there's a point that we need to identify that Jesus is my Savior and Lord and follow him. But it takes a commitment to do that, as we know. We talked about, just fast forward a little bit, we talked about Jesus being on planet Earth, being God in his full expression. Some translations even say God in flesh, which that's neat. Was walking with his disciples as they were following him everywhere. And he was revealing more of himself daily as his ministry continued to grow. And we talked about these three main areas where Jesus would reveal himself to the people that were around him, including his disciples. One, as I just said, they were starting to realize that he's saving something. He's talking really deep. He's listening to his Abba, Father God, but he's talking about saving us from something. And I know some of the Jewish counselors said they would be saving us from the Rome oppression, and that didn't work out that way. But the disciples that kept pressing in, and the more people that saw more of Jesus, knew that he was saving us for something that would lead us into an eternal thing beyond what they could know right now. And he would talk about, I'm going to go to the cross for you. I'm going to die. I didn't come to win. I came to lose my life so you may win eternally. Some of us Christians, our Christ followers, need to remember that. We've got to win at everything. Well, Jesus came to lose his life so you would win in eternity. And that's what matters. He began to reveal himself as the true Messiah in healing people, in speaking in authority over him napping and getting woken up abruptly and a storm's coming. And his followers said, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And he gets up and says, Storm, be still. The disciples got to reveal in that moment of the authority that he had to speak to the wind and waves. People would come to him, as we were talking before, because they would lay down at his feet and say, I'm in desperate need for something. Jairus' daughter's dying. There's one scene. We know well the woman with the issue of blood that just had to touch the hem of his garment. We know some. We talked about a bunch of frat buddies that went on a roof and ripped a roof off to drop their friend that was lame and that couldn't even move. And they risked it all to rip a roof off and drop him at the foot of Jesus. They were desperate for something. But there's a fine line. We need to be desperate for the answer, which is Jesus. And in that, we find out what he can do for us. If we come to the foot of Jesus, what he can do for us, Jesus will not reveal his full self to us. The answer is Jesus. Everything you need is Jesus. We sang about it. That's it. It's Jesus. We got world problems. You need Jesus. Jesus is the answer. So as the more we seek Jesus, he reveals himself more to us. And then you begin to see his hands, his feet, his healing, his love, his kindness. But if we just come, Jesus, I need you to do this. He may, but you will never see the full revealing of who he is to you. Because you'll be limited. You need to see him as Savior, Lord, Messiah. But also, as we've said, soon coming King. Well, Pastor, how can I see him as soon coming King? If you read the Word and you follow teaching that us as Christ followers, we're not just to hear and sit and wait for a rapture. I'll get into that in another month. We're here to be doing something. We have purpose to be, we just talked about we have purpose to be more like Jesus. And we can do that. That doesn't fill a church yet. It will not. Thank you for not saying amen to that. So we talked about the desperation that people had that would fall at the foot of Jesus. And Jesus would go on through his ministry to say, with his disciples and the crowd that was building, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the light. Pretty powerful stuff. He would also say to his disciples, hey, I'm the bread of life. He would say to a woman at a well that I am living water. This is Jesus. So if you're thirsty, you can get living water. If you're hungry, you can get anointed bread. It's all there. It's Jesus. And I want to encourage you that if you have a need, bring it to Jesus. Don't bring it to Sister Sue and Sue right away. That's nice. We need the body of Christ, and I'll get into that more. But your default reaction should be, Jesus, I don't know what's going on right now, but I know you do. And I'm just going to focus on you. Come what may, I'm focusing on you. And there's power in that because it gives him license to be Lord in your life. To be Lord in your life, no matter what is happening. No matter what is happening. So we learned about, you know, being desperate. A lot of the answers that we saw in these stories is they were literally touching or falling down at the foot of Jesus. Pastor, that's really nice. These are in here. You know, this is the living word of God. This is great. But what is that? How do I have contact Jesus 2025, this wonderful Sunday? Because what I've heard is he's up in heaven, right hand of the throne, right? He's sitting up there. He's interceding for us. So he's certainly still, we're on his mind. That's great, right? But how, he's not on the earth right now. How's he going to reveal himself with his hands and feet, you said, and all this and everything else? How is he going to reveal more of himself to me? And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Daily, you should be, if you have surrendered your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit is sealed inside you. Now, whether you activate the Holy Spirit daily, that's up to you. That's a decision. I heard that people, at the end of each day, when people lay their head down on the pillow, this statistic was, you've probably made over 20,000 decisions that day. That's crazy. Anyhow, what was that? I got lost. I was so profound by that, the Holy Spirit. Thank you. But if we every morning welcome him into our lives, in helping discern what's good and bad for us, help us lead to where to go, help us love the way we're called to love, help us to be guided in truth, spirit and in truth. You need both. You need the map and the compass, which is in you. Then Jesus will reveal himself through that. Because Jesus left to say, I'm leaving, but wait a minute. You're not abandoned children at all. He said this to his disciples in John 17 and other scriptures before he's heading to the cross. My Father God's going to give us the Holy Spirit so we can continue to be one. How can he say, you abide in me and I in you, when he knows the cross is a few weeks away? It wasn't a physical thing, it was a spiritual thing. So the Holy Spirit is there to help you daily. And he'll help reveal Jesus to us in worship, in our devotion, reading the Word, digesting the Word every day. He'll reveal himself to us as a Savior, as a Lord, as a Messiah, meaning an anointed one who wants to heal the broken heart in you and also the people around you, as a soon coming King. I don't know about you, but that puts pep in my step every day, that I know Jesus is coming back soon. And he's going to be a King. I know there's signs, there's no king. No, there is one king, and his name's Jesus. His eternal kingdom will outlast any other monarch on this planet. So he wants to reveal more of himself, his kindness, his goodness, all these things to you. But now I want to use that word desperation. So we're talking about revelation, desperation. And we've been talking about desperation, we know, is when somebody has a one singular focus of what is the most critically important thing tomorrow. No, now. What is it? Desperation. My question in healing and different things like that, have you been desperate for Jesus enough for him to reveal more of himself to you? But now I want to shift a little bit of that word, desperation. Do you know you are designed to be desperate for Jesus? So we talked about needs. When things come up, when unexpected things happen, we go to Jesus in desperation, which is good. But daily, even if the birds are singing your name from the tree behind your yard and the sky is wide open and the sun's shining, you're still desperate for Jesus that day. Why? Because when God created us, he installed a few things in us that require something outside of us. That's why sometimes church is such a wonderful representation of what God's doing, because we're all here together for something greater than ourselves. That's huge. It's not a social club, although we need to get together and do things, but there's something greater than ourselves that brings us together, because we have that hunger, that need, that desperation at points. So we were designed for these four things. Maybe a few more, but I'm simplifying it down due to time. Just think of these things. We were designed, obviously, in the image of God. So we have to reflect something. Whatever we reflect, we may become. So the more you behold Jesus, the more you become like him. But there's these four intrinsic things that we were designed to have in us that need to be filled outside of us. One, identity. Imagine if the world knew that. that you're not going to find your identity within yourself. Yeah. Two, acceptance. We are designed to be loved. Come on, you men, you know that. We're designed that we need love. We need to be accepted. Women too, I don't want to stereotype. Three, we need security. Need to know we're secure in wherever we are right now. And fourth, we need purpose. So identity, acceptance, security, and purpose. Do you know all four of those were in the Garden of Eden? They were all there. And then when we got kicked out of Eden, Adam and Eve, we still had that propensity that we need this desperation, this divine design to need something in these four areas. The problem is when we were kicked out of Eden, we looked for those four things in different areas but God. Our identity, it becomes maybe in our job, and these are messages within themselves. Our identity in relationships. I'm only as good as I have with my spouse. And they're important. My acceptance. I'm very insecure. So I need your acceptance. So I'm going to get acceptance from you before I get acceptance from God. Ouch. I need security. I need to wake up in the morning that if the stock market tanks, I've got a bunch of gold under my bed. I'm being extreme, but, you know, bring you somewhere. But security, I need that. And the security is not trusting in Jehovah Jireh to provide all my needs according to His riches and glory. Security. Purpose. I was going to do this quote. Where's John? Anybody seen Mall Cop 2, the movie? There's an epic moment, although it didn't make it to the Academy Awards, and I don't know why, of Mall Cop 2, where he's pushed in front of a convention and speaking to about 50 or 60 people, and he really didn't have much of a speech. And let me see if I can articulate it. He says, if your purpose in life is just yourself, and then he raises his voice and the theatrics come into the music, you have no purpose. And we laugh at that, which is funny. In that setting of a movie, it's a very funny movie, I thought. But our purpose is to become more like Christ. Those are challenging words for us. Our purpose is not to be... I'll leave that alone. Purpose, 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 purpose. So we are desperate for Jesus, actually, daily, whether it's a sunny day or not. So how can we begin to have Jesus be more revealed daily? If I don't have a great need and I'm still wanting to commune with God in my devotion every day of prayer, reading the Word, hearing the Holy Spirit, because I've activated the Holy Spirit every day to help me. Well, it's not a coincidence that when Jesus was on the earth in ministry, and we've mentioned this before, and again, it could be a whole other message, but He called Himself this more than anything else. The Son of Man. Why? Things that are in this book are not all coincidental. there's life in this, and things add up and make full circles of what God wants to do and bring to His people that are hungry for this Word. Son of Man is a few things, but one of them is. He was trying to represent His dual nature. He was a man, but He had God in Him and the Spirit. So if He was sitting next to you right now and we didn't make a big deal of Him, you probably wouldn't know who He was. We get the depiction of long hair and He's cocky, all that stuff, you know, if that's true, but I don't know. But you probably wouldn't recognize. He had a dual nature going. Imagine if He just sat up in the clouds and said, I'm Jesus, do what I say, and then I'm going to die for you by falling off a cliff. I'm not being funny, but I'm going to do something, but we're never having human contact with the people He's trying to save. We wouldn't be able to relate to that. It would just be Jesus in a stained glass window for the rest of our lives. But the Son of Man was saying, I have humanity in me. One reason, because I wanted to feel the hurt you're going through so I can pray for it and shift spiritually what's going on. Other, I wanted to be able to perform miracles. The Pharisees' biggest reason for wanting to kill Jesus is he looked too human and he kept saying he had God in him. Think about that. He didn't have a halo. He was too human and he kept blaspheming and saying he was God. So he's divine. He's called himself the Son of Man to show that dual nature. And then obviously in his divinity that came out in his wisdom, his authority, as we said earlier, and miracles and him becoming the Messiah through that. But you know one other reason he called himself the Son of Man, because he knew there would be a day. Then let's even say, I need to get what today is. What is today? September 28th? 28th, I got two different things. This is why I don't go there. September 28th, 2025, Jesus knew that you need to be more like him. And Son of Man brings some relatability because you have the Holy Spirit inside you. That should have got an amen. You have the Holy Spirit inside you. You can do, he said, leaving. You're going to do greater works than I am. Pastor, I'm not there yet. That's okay. I'm not all there either. But you know a purpose in your life. Let's start walking out your purpose in due time. But Jesus wants to reveal more of himself because he knows how desperate we are to find our identity, to be loved and acceptance, to have the security which is only found in Jesus, and then to have the purpose that's divine for us to do daily in our lives. This can be challenging, I know. But that was the Son of Man, how he did that and how he portrayed himself in that. Another factor, and this is a whole other message, so I'm just getting in and out of this to finish this today. Another thing we need to realize how Jesus is going to reveal himself more and more to us is that we really need to understand what belief and faith are. Sometimes we mix them up, and they do overlap. I don't have a lot of time to get too knee-deep in this, but a few little punches here we can go to give you some of that. Here's something I wrote down yesterday. Hopefully this makes sense. I had to write it down because I didn't want to just articulate it on my own here. Belief. So as this context relates to the revealing of Jesus more in your life, I'm not saying faith and belief as in general, but what we're talking about right now, here is an illustration of belief and faith and how we need to be aware of that. Because if we are, it grows in us, and then Jesus can reveal more of himself to us. Belief is our anchor that keeps us in truth and understanding of the revelation of who Jesus is, an anchor in the water. And how deep the anchor is will determine how the level of belief we have. What does that mean? We talked about levels of belief in our Western culture. We're going to look at Scripture in a minute because Jesus always talked about believe in me, believe in me, believe in me. But if you take that word and go back to its time, it's got a deeper meaning than it does when I say, hey, you believe it or not, this just happened to me. There's the two levels of belief. There's one level that I acknowledge something. Yeah, Jesus, I know. I saw him in a stained glass window. People come on Sundays and do things, and that's fine. And then there's another, and this is really quick, the second level of belief is I actually agree that Jesus could be something. He could be my Savior, you know, in my life, and that's good. And you know what? I'll begin to hang around people who agree with the same thing I agree with. Third level is this. Your anchor is deep down in a deep water that Jesus is my everything, and it's in a point of that it's transformed things in me, in my life, around me because of my belief. So now we can read these things. Can you put John up there? I don't know what it is. John 3:16. No, we're going to go to a scripture. For this is how God loved the... No, that was... This is how God loved the world. He gave one and only Son that anyone who what? Believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. That belief is the third level we just talked about. No condemnation, but you need to have reality. We live in this, sobriety usually has to do with drugs and alcohol, but I think in the Christian world, Sobriety means you haven't realized the addiction and the destruction in a world of your comfort. I'll leave that right there. Keep going. No, I don't want to clap. Don't clap. This is just true to God and just Holy Spirit. Let's do the next one. And who can win this battle against the world? Only those who are Republicans and Democrats. Those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I think I had one more. He is the old. This isn't even talking about Jesus. This is actually apostles after the upper room. He is the, so this is real time now, what we would be in a sense. He is the one all the prophets testified about, meaning Jesus, saying that everyone who what?
Believes.
In him will have their sins forgiven through his name. This is more than a prayer. Start somewhere. But it's a daily surrender of believing in a loving Jesus that is waiting for you to open his arms and saying, I am Son of Man, I see you hurting. I am Son of Man, I see the pride. I am Son of Man, I see the addictions. But believe in me. There's that one verse. Come to me if you're weary and heavy laden, and he'll give us rest. Give us rest. So let me go to the next part. Let's talk about faith now. So we said belief is an anchor. This should be your state. It is not moving. I will go to death if I need to, or whatever it is. But I'm saying in this and Jesus, this is unmovable, whether I see it in front of me or don't. This is what my beliefs are. It's concrete. It's a state. You've poured a foundation that you've been standing on, and you can't move. Anchor. Now let's continue. Faith is, again, in the realm of Jesus being revealed more to us. Faith is the line from the anchor to the surface that provides our response in the waves of life through trust, the trust we have in his character and nature. Jesus, most of the times he talked about faith is when either somebody failed in it or did well in it. Right? The lady with the issue of blood. And she touches the hem of his garment that we talked about. She was desperate for healing and she was made whole. And she says, daughter, your faith has made you whole. That was her response. And we need to understand that faith in many contexts is where Christ is going to reveal something to you, whether in a shifting thing or something going upside down, that it's going to be your faith response that is important in these times. Your response. Lift up the shield of faith. That's a response because things are coming in. Faith is a response, and it's trusting in what the nature and character of Jesus, which means I'm trusting in what he has said. Healing, different things in my life. But without both, we go into this quote again, you are a floating vessel that will be governed by the currents of life and not be able to experience the fullness of Christ. So if I don't realize where my belief level is, I don't really exercise my faith in a response. When something hits the fan, we're grown adults. I say, oh my God, what am I going to do? Instead of Jesus, I need you to guide me through the Holy Spirit. What's your response in faith? What's your response in faith? Does that make sense in this context? So if we can be conscious of belief and faith and where that is, Jesus is waiting to reveal more of himself to us. Here is, oh my goodness, I'm just looking at the time, not my notes. We're going to move here quick. So we just talked about something that helps us reveal Jesus more of himself to us. Here's what will push him away as well, where he will not reveal more of himself to us. And these are messages within themselves, and I apologize, it's just compact right now due to time. It's called the gospel of I. You have, did I give you 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy? Okay, beautiful, thank you. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound or wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires. Remember, to fulfill those four things: my identity, my acceptance, my security, and purpose. I'm going to find those desires somewhere else to be fulfilled. And we'll look to teachers who will tell them what their itching ears want to hear. I pray our pastoral staff, which I know, we're not here to itch your ears. You're here to grow. This can be tough stuff. But what's happening is, and even we get, Timothy talks about false prophets and in other books of the epistles too. Paul is warning a lot of his churches, don't be fooled by these false prophets. And we think sometimes they're coming up and they put a Bible over here and they don't open it, and that's fine. That's not good either. But they sit here and say, Satan loves you so dearly. They don't say that. But that's not the influence that's going to lead a church to hell. It's going to be good sounding things that itch a little bit and say, oh, I got that itch, and are leading people to hell. Harsh. This is harsh stuff. Nobody should be running around the room today saying hallelujah. But it's true, and we need to be sober to this. So, and it's a big thing, and it comes in two ways. The gospel of I comes from people speaking it, proclaiming it, and then those receiving it. Pretty obvious. So if you have speakers proclaiming it, and then somebody's receiving it, it may look like church, but nobody's growing. There's no fruit. Here's some ways you can find out about the gospel of I. One thing, whether the proclaimer or the receiver, they use the word I a lot. And again, it happens. I say that. I just did. I. But it is pretty profound. It's I. Jesus is not in the center. They are in the center. I. But they'll use scripture. Oh, they're great with it. They pull it out in any second and apply it and move it to whatever needs to be done. But it's revolving around me, myself, and I. And it's very subtle. Because I could preach some scriptures here and twist it and say, it about me. Look what the Lord has done. And He will bless us. He wants abundant life. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and then all His righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. He wants to bless us. He is Jehovah Jireh, but we've got to be that goodness of God song. I'd forgotten that big word that's in there. It says, Lord, you've been so faithful. Lord, you've been so good. And He has. But somewhere in there, there's the word surrender in there. And that's not a fun word. The gospel of I will not talk about much of surrendering in life. The gospel of I will bring other walls that are the enemy, when the real enemy is Satan sitting back going, this is good news, really. Because this is talking about you all the time. We have to be careful. And these people are already there. They're on YouTube. And again, this is where you need the Holy Spirit to give you discernment when you're listening to somebody that could be in the world of gospel of I. Just check the fruit. Because they're not usually talking about surrender. They're definitely not talking about suffering, which will happen. Ouch. If we're being like Jesus, Jesus suffered a little bit. Not saying we're going to a physical cross at all, but there may be emotional crosses we may have to endure, or offenses and different things. Who knows? But the gospel of I, there's not much fruit going on. Because the fruit grows when the Holy Spirit is leading. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. All these fruits of the Spirit, is the Holy Spirit in your life growing these fruits? Patience. For me, that's a hard one. The gospel of I, Jesus will not be around in that church if the gospel of I is being preached. It may fill a church, but are they followers sitting in the church? Are we okay? So, we're going to land the plane. Revelation, desperation. Most of the series ahead was showing stories about people in the Bible where people were desperate, but they went to seek Jesus, not what he could do. They knew he could do something, but their primary focus was, I'm seeking you, I'm at your feet. And then in and through that, you can do what you can do, and he will. We learn that desperation today, well, we may need to be desperate every day for Jesus. If we're not knowing about those four things of, what were the four things? I don't even remember. Okay. They start with acceptance, security, and what was the first one again? I'm testing you guys, really. And what was the last one? Purpose. See, if we don't get that from Jesus, some of those are going to wander into getting them somewhere else. But we're designed to get them all from Jesus, from our Maker God who provided us Jesus. Whenever in and everything is in Jesus that we can get. Doesn't mean you're not going to have some bad times ahead. But if I'm in Jesus, and it says we'll get bad times, but I'm in Jesus, that's everything. He's my reward. We've got to also start thinking more eternity-minded than right now-minded, September 28th. We've got to think eternity-minded. It can be difficult at times, but the Holy Spirit can lead us in that. We get so frustrated about many things that don't carry eternal weight. And we get in fights about it and disunity. And then Satan says, I didn't have to do a thing. I just let you guys roll, man. This is beautiful. What's of eternal weight? Because, see, this is the ultimate thing. And I'm not there too. I'm growing with you. Can I have a license to grow with you? The ultimate thing is when we're becoming more like Christ, and it doesn't happen overnight, it's causing us to become more mature. Christians, Christ followers, really impact for his kingdom. Amen? Amen? So, well, in this way, can you put that? Yeah, well, you are good. Thank you. We're going to read Matthew 16, 17, chapter 16. We started this series with this verse. We'll end it with this verse. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea and Philippi, he asked his disciples, so he had disciples with him. He only wanted disciple input. Careful when you want input, who's around you. Disciple input. Who do you say that the Son of Man is? Oh, look at that, he called himself Son of Man. Keep going. Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets. Continue. Then he asked them, yeah, that's what they're saying, but who do you say I am? Keep going. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Keep going. And this is the pivot point. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. In your journey now, as Jesus wants to reveal more of himself to you, it's going to happen in this. It's going to happen in the Holy Spirit. It's going to happen in giving your praises and your sacrifice to Jesus. He's going to reveal more of himself to you, where you can say, you are the living Son of God. No schooling that I went to Harvard did, and that's great for Harvard and whatever education system, but I got it from the Spirit of God that led me to these things. And it's an endless, endless journey. You will not become to the fullness of Christ until you see Christ. Let me warn you there, so not a lot of pressure yet. But that's okay. I've said this before, Charles Spurgeon, great quote. He says, the more I have, the more fullness of Christ that keeps filling in my life, the more I see the less of everything else around me. This is freedom. This is peace. This is wisdom. This is love. This is everything. Pastor, you sound like a Jesus freak. I hope you're all joining me in this Jesus freak thing, because that's where we go. But that's where we go. And I understand not everybody's there right now in this room. That's okay. Everybody's somewhere. But just step in, like we said, crank your belief up a little more. Respond in faith a little bit more and see what Jesus can do for you. Not what he can do for you, but how he wants to reveal more of himself to you. So you've grown up hurt. No father, no parents. Life has really been bad on you. And that's real. That's sobering. But you know, he can be your father through that too. He can be your friend. He can be anything you need in that through the Holy Spirit alone. Finally, let's stand. Finally, the last thing how Jesus can reveal, Priscilla, you come up. The last thing Jesus can reveal more of himself to us, we just talked about many good ones, which are true. I want you to look to the left and to the right. Jesus can reveal more of himself to the people around you. Whether you're giving of something or receiving of something. And Satan does not like this at all. This is one of the top things. You can memorize the Bible. You can, and these are powerful things. You can do all these things. But when we bring the body of Christ together, Satan doesn't like that. But Jesus can be revealed to you through the people around you. I want to read a little bit of a song that we're going to sing as we close. It's by our dear friend Russ Taff. We know this song well, but I think it's just so fitting right now. As Jesus can reveal more of himself to us through the people around us, the song goes like this. Sometimes it's hard to understand while we pull away from each other. Even though we've all been walking the same road, yet we've built dividing walls between us, our brothers and sisters. But I don't care what label you may wear. If you believe in Jesus, you belong to me. The bond we share is all I care to see. And we can change the world forever if you will join me. Join in singing, "You're my brother, you're my sister." And we will stand in the name of Jesus. Amen. You do not want me to sing. But we have some great, great
hey, everybody.
People that can.
We're so glad you tuned in today. I'm Pastor Ray with my friend Sherry.
Hi.
And it's a joy to get to connect with you today. Pastor Chris just continued his series on Revelation and Desperation. And some interesting things that really hit me was how Jesus referred to himself as Son of Man over and over and over through the Gospels, and that is the connection that helps us realize he's divine and human. He's the only combination of God and man together in one person.
Amen.
And what an amazing thing to realize that. And why did he do that? He did that so we could fully experience, so he could fully experience what we experience, so that he could, like the Bible says, be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses.
Amen.
That's amazing. That blows me away.
Amen. Amen.
And I love the other points that he had today about our security being found only in him, our purpose being found only in him, and then what he got into about belief and what belief really is. That belief is more than mentally agreeing. Because some people say, oh yeah, I believe that, I believe that. And really all they're doing is mentally agreeing. But there's a level of belief that doesn't cause us to agree, but causes us to act on what we believe.
Amen.
And you've got a story
I do.
That I think captures that real well. And I want to hear it, girl.
So I have a testimony that I want to share today, and all praises be to the Lord. My husband, my two children, and our two dogs went on a hike in Ashland State Park last Sunday after church, actually. And it's if you're familiar with it, it's definitely got some steep hills and some terrain. And, you know, as we're sort of turning the corner on one of the steepest parts of the hill, I hear a woman kind of yelp, and I hear all this thudding. And I round the corner, and there's a woman that's fallen, and her ankle clearly looks like it's shattered. And I run over to her and I'm like, oh my gosh, are you okay? You know, how can I help you? So I call 911. My husband kind of goes back down the terrain to wait at the street level for the ambulance to come. They get there and, you know, we kind of make sure she's okay, and we kind of start to leave so that the ambulance can take her to the hospital. And my 14-year-old son, unprompted, sort of walks over to her and says, you know, hi, introduces himself and says, can I pray with you? And she kind of looks up at him and she's like so grateful. And she says, that is actually so kind. And he lays hands on her and he prays for her. And she's so thankful and so grateful. And we walk away. And I was just so incredibly touched by that interaction. It just really, it was just something. It was amazing.
You know, that just captures the real definition of believing.
Amen.
Because what he did there was, I believe something. And so I'm not going to go ahead and be inactive about it. Mm. But because I believe it, I act on that. Because I believe it, and it's good for me, I believe it's good for anybody else who gets in
Amen.
On it too.
Amen.
And so he brought Jesus to that lady
Amen.
Through what he did.
Amen.
And that was just such a perfect testimony to capture that essence of when we really believe, we do this thing, girl.
Amen.
We don't just talk about it. We do it. I love it. I love it. And I so appreciate you sharing that today.
Thank you.
And we want to go ahead and put the challenge out to y'all today. You believe in Jesus? The way that you truly demonstrate your belief in Jesus is not by just saying, yeah, I believe. You know, because words are important, but words by themselves don't cut it. If you have words and then actions, corresponding actions that go with your words, like James in the scripture talked about faith without works being dead.
That's
but
right.
If you put some action to your faith, you got something to work with there. And really, God's got something to work with there. So we're so glad that you tuned in today. We want to encourage you with these things today. And of course, hey, we are not far from your home. So if you're anywhere in Massachusetts or Rhode Island, we'd love to have you come and join us. And how can they do that, Sherry?
You can come visit us on Sundays. You can come visit us on Wednesdays as well. And is there a link on the bottom of the screen?
Yes, indeed.
And give the times.
What there is, actually, there's a phone number that you can text.
That's right.
If you need any information. But the address here is 95 Sagamore Road, Seekonk. And if you want to check us out, it's faithccenter.com, faithccenter.com. You can check us out there. I see you already found our live stream, so you know that. But one thing better than checking us out on live stream is we'd love to have you here in person, be able to greet you face to face. You're important to God, and you're important to us. So what a blessing to have you join us today. And Sherry, happy Sunday to you.
Happy Sunday to you.
And happy Sunday to all of you. We love you, and God's best to you today. Have a great day.
Bye.
All right.